Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast. I'm Ollie Lum and as always I'm joined by my co-host Matt Seddon. This week we spoke to Podium 5K race organiser Chris Barnes.
Welcome back people. Super exciting episode Tuesday. A lot has gone down over the past week, especially regarding the Podium 5K and Beth Potter's amazing 14:41 unofficial world record, if you like. So look, we speak to Chris about the course, the measurement of the course, the ratification of the course, everything surrounding Podium and how it's grown over the past 6-7 years into this super fast, crazy good course. I'm just going to start off by saying, look, on Saturday, or last Saturday as it was, everything aligned. Like, if you were there, you would understand. I think a lot of people who weren't there are raising eyebrows. They're raising questions about the course. They're raising, you know, course validity, shoes, freak run, stuff like that. But if you were there on that night, you would understand. It's like, think of a Watford Wednesday when there's no wind, it's warm, everyone's racing, everyone's firing. It's easy done to go and obliterate some PB. But look, so we speak to Chris all things regarding the course. We speak to about the event progression over the past few years as well. We also speak to him about the future of the event and where he thinks that could go, whether taking it international, inviting, you know, some of the world's best runners to that course, having a head-to-head, a home international, all his ideas on that sort of thing. And we also obviously speak about Beth's run and the record-breaking run that it was. And, you know, he gives his opinions on it as well. And we speak about some of the, almost the backlash that he's got as a race organizer from Podium 5K, all right? It's rare that you put on a good meet and people still want to moan, but here we are, 2021, all right? But look, we've heard a load of gossip. You've seen a lot kick off on Twitter. But this week, just enjoy and hear what Chris has to say on it himself, all surrounding that Podium 5K, all right? Enjoy the podcast. Not as long as usual, so I hope it's something a little bit different for you. And take care, and we'll catch you next week. Obviously, welcome to the podcast, Chris. Great to have you on. Race organizer of Podium 5K, which we have just seen. I spoke to you over the weekend, didn't we? It's almost like a bomb's just exploded. And again. yeah. You know, it's just been so much. I mean, we had Mark Scott there last summer and then obviously Beth on the weekend. So,
and the thing is with Beth would just come in for a
run
up 15:30 on a Friday night. So it didn't really set things up to what would happen or you know, like you say, explode.
Mm. Yeah.
So with that, like you, Chris, I kind of seen you said on Twitter like how it happened. Was it literally just that text kind of like, is there a space for me? Is there space for me in the race? And then it just kind of happened, like in terms of Beth's entry.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, as I said, we've always been anti online entry. So I've never had to turn athletes away before. So obviously the reason we do online entry now is partly to do with these COVID restrictions and guidelines for putting races on. So I've always tried to leave spaces so that if someone of Beth's quality or you know, anyone really, asks for an entry as late as Saturday morning, I'll get them in. So Beth got in touch on Monday and said, right, I'll race. And this is where after she'd done a triathlon on the, I think, Saturday.
Yeah.
And then she messaged again Friday night and said, because I put her originally in a sub-16 race, which would it involved maybe three or four other girls. And then she messaged on Friday night and said, can I go at 15:30? And I actually replied and said, are you sure? And she said, she, again, I'll quote her, you know, she said, yeah, all or nothing. So she went in 15-30 race, hoping just to get a drag round and not fall out at back door too much.
Yeah. Wow, it was some 15-30 race, wasn't it? I think the
in that
race were like, I don't know. I think I skimmed the results and it must have been like 15-10 down the bottom end of that race. So, yeah, I guess she was, I don't know if she was wearing a watch, but she was probably thinking, oh, if I'm at the back of this, I'm going to be 15-30 or 15-35, something like that. But then, it looked like they all kind of ran quicker than expected or quicker than the target time. Matt and I have been discussing, it looks like a good course and things like that. What do you think is the reason it is so fast, though? Like the main reason?
No, to be honest with me, again, if you look at historically, the results have always been fairly quick. Mm. And then probably what's helped it along now is the fact that the COVID rules have said you can only have small fields. So we've had to introduce more strict gradings. And again, Ollie can probably vouch for it when he raced there. I mean, that pack, certainly in Ollie's race, Matt's race,
yeah,
that it together so tight for probably 4.5K.
Mm.
I think that helps. I mean, and again, people who have done podium, you know, before and numerous times, they'll vouch. There's always a breeze. There's always a breeze down at podium, and you could have dropped a piece of paper and it wouldn't have moved on Saturday night. Yeah. So there are so many factors, I think. No one can deny that whether they want to get into shoes a bit or not, shoes are helping. The fact that it was so packed and so. I think the pace was consistent. Again, you'll be able to answer that, Matt, from your watch. I think the pace was pretty consistent all the way around. And again, conditions are absolutely perfect.
Well, this is something which I think is being like almost overlooked when it comes to road racing, is the, like you say, the size of the amount of people, 20, 30 guys all running pretty much exactly the same, you know, bar like the last K or last mile. They're all running the same pace for two miles pretty much, which is, it's just a huge pack running, which just brings you on. You don't really get that on a track. You don't get 30 guys of such a similar ability on a track.
You could see that though in that final race that, you know, again, on your video, you could see the likes of Tom and Phil started pushing that pace on quite early and it's strung out quick, you know. In fact, I think even at 2K, there were two separate groups that again had got.
Yeah.
That pack in your race and Beth's race just didn't budge.
No.
I think Miles Chisholm from Coventry went out pretty hard and stayed. Yeah. And nobody reacted to him. They just left him to it until 4K. Mm. And I think he got passed by sort of five or six runners. So I think everything just aligned, to be fair, and it went perfect for her.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting as well, because on the road, it seems like, I mean, you obviously don't have pacemakers at podium. Have you ever thought about having pacemakers? Because it's almost like you don't even need them.
There's been pacemakers a couple of times, but more based around sort of non-noticeable times. You know, like Mick Hill, for example, once paced to 16 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it works or not. It's like you said, I don't know if it's needed, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If conditions are as good as what they were on Saturday night, it's definitely not needed.
No. No, I don't think it is. And I think on the road, a lot of people know, I mean, a lot of people train on the road, so they sort of know sort of like where a 3-minute K is or where a 250 K is, for example. And when you say that, when there's such a big pack, people seem to be open to take the race on, and the lead will chop and change like quite a few times. Like I know in the A race as well, like Brownlee took it out and then Sesmond in Tom Mortimer. So
yeah, 100%. It's and again, it's, I think the thing is with podium and also obviously lockdown and things, there's a lot of people so eager to race. And again, you'll have seen it on Saturday, Matty. A lot of people got it wrong as well, who were at front at pack and disappeared.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of eagerness that went on. And I think as the standard of the races got better, the pacing got better, the packs stayed bigger. So it just worked out well.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's a good point you make, Chris, about the people who do get it wrong. Because I think as athletics fans and just people are involved with the sport, we often see on Twitter, like we see the people who run really quick and then everyone's like, oh, race is ludicrous. Everyone's running so fast. Oh, the shoes, bloody, bloody, blah. And actually, like, it's because for the past year or whatever it's been since COVID, everyone's just looking at those top performances. And those top performances have been really good, but there's a lot of athletes we haven't seen. There's a lot of athletes in the past year who've not produced their best. And I think it just shows you kind of how rose-tinted social media can be in terms of athletes' results.
I think these days, Ollie, a lot of people can get a bit of attention from just putting anything they want to put on social media, whether it's good or bad. They just jump on things, don't they, for jumping on sake. I mean, the amount of, Tim Hutchings has a point, don't get me wrong, but I'm bored stiff of him talking about carbon shoes now. Mm-hmm. You know, there'll always be evolution. There were evolution years ago, and you know, every time there's a race on, he's commenting, and yeah, it's just boring now.
Mm. I mean, I don't know Beth that well, but to be fair to her, when you go through a pair of 10 before last year, which was obviously 2020, she hadn't actually done a 5K in 4 years since 2016. So you're thinking, well, she must be due like quite a big performance anyway. She's been training for tri. Obviously, it's aerobic based and she hadn't run a 5K. She runs 15:24. You could argue that because she hadn't done one for so long, she may have been capable of quicker anyway on that day last year. So her improvement's not like as big. It looks big on paper, but she would have known, you know, where her progression is year on year. Just because she didn't run a time, people are like, oh, it must be the shoes, you know.
Well, again, you know, she's running Olympics, she's running Commonwealth Games.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
You know, we're not talking about someone who's done triathletes all their life and just bought a fancy pair of shoes and ran a record.
Yeah.
And again, you know, she ran in August. It's, and people who were there in August will vouch for it, there were a breeze in August, right, which makes Mark Scott's run even better.
Yeah.
Beth ran that run from gun to tape pretty much on, to be fair, after a couple of K. So, again, all factors that can vouch in that doesn't make the improvement as crazy as it looks, if that makes sense.
And that was a ladies only race as well, wasn't it, in August, was it?
It were, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, like you say, I think a PB before that were in 17s, maybe.
Mm. Yeah. Look, let's just backtrack a bit and just set the scene for podium, because I want like people listening to get an idea of the actual like meat that you've got at the moment. You've just touched upon the entries for it and the fact that there's not really an online entry system. You're always putting out like message on Instagram and Facebook and stuff, aren't you?
Yeah. So again, going back to early days, I obviously got the race on. Then after a couple of times it had been on, a guy called Adrian Webb fetched a big bunch of Liverpool athletes down, which include Jamie Webb.
Yeah.
Jamie Webb, an international then, and Adrian supported it pretty well. So it got to a point where I was asking people like Adrian, Steve Vernon, people who were having big coaching groups, you know, what age do you want? When do you want it? You know, what time do you want it on? Things like this. And it's just rolled from there, really. And again, you'll see it on Instagram now that, you know, if ever there's a race, I'll sort of say, what date do you want? I've got these three dates available. Yeah. You know, point where this event, I'm asking people, did they want it for free or did they want it for a tenner? And did they want prize, or did they want no prize money? And so it's always been that way, that it's kind of been, without sounding corny and saying it's the athlete's race, it's kind of always been their choice as to where, when, and, you know, how, so to speak.
Yeah, see, I love that. I didn't actually realise you were that, you know, in touch with, you know, coaches and athletes, but it certainly feels like that when you go there. Like you say, it's a race just put on for the athletes, even the way the course is mapped out. The parking's just right on the doorstep. You know, you park up on the roadside. So
the parking's lucky. When there's a bit of rain, there's
many. Oh, I have heard it can get a bit messy, yeah.
There's been many occasions as well, because, again, you know, there's a couple of locked gates there. In fact, Phil Sessman, he came some time ago on a bad night, and we locked him in. Phil and Ashcroft were locked behind these gates for about an hour, panicking that they couldn't get home and get out. So,
yeah. Oh gosh,
it's an amateur setup.
Yeah, but it really works. Like, it's just like the pure athletics, like stripped back, if you like. Like you say, it's just you just rock up to the start line and you race, and it just, I feel like athletes, they almost need that sometimes, you know, in order to get the best out of themselves. There's no hype. There's no waiting in a cool room. It's just, they just know that when they rock up, they're just going to run hard for 5K.
Yeah. And again, you can speak to these guys as well. And
yeah,
I've only ever give prize money to first person across the line, you know, and it's always been dictated by how much on that night, so to speak.
We lost him.
Back, should we wait?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, yeah, just repeat that for us. Yeah.
It's always been dictated. Sorry, I don't know what I was saying there.
Just with the
prize money, just for first place.
Yeah, yeah, the prize money. So we've always just paid the first guy or the first girl over. And invariably, let's say we had £500 takings up night, I'd literally stand at the start and say, there's 400 quid here. You know, if you run whatever 15 minutes, I'll give you 50 quid. If you go under 15 minutes, I'll give you 100 quid and so on. So we've always just done it first man over at line. And again, no one's ever complained about prizes because they just seem to want to race, cool down and go home. You know, and I think there's a market these days for these corporate events that are, you know, all singing, all dancing and stay around for prizes and whatnot. But I think you can tell with podiums results over time, there's also an athlete that just can't be bothered with that. All they want to do is turn up, get absolutely thrashed around the track for 5K and go home.
Yeah, 100%. So let's talk about kind of the impact of, I guess, Mark Scott and then Beth on the weekend as well. Then I guess there's a lot of people who probably want to get involved and change the event. How much are you kind of looking into that, or are you just going to stick with what it is as it is, I guess?
It's difficult. But after that Mark Scott event, there are a few conversations about sort of not copying, but pinching little snippets from what I guess done, you know, having a bit of a circus and food and drink and all this sort of thing. In fact, Nick McCormick was sort of suggesting, you know, if you get your dates right, you might get Nick Beddo, bring his Australian athletes up from Teddington and so on and so on. But
oh yeah,
it's always been sort of designed around the top British club athlete. So again, after that Mark Scott event, there were a bit of a lack of motivation to put it on again because you thought, well, it'll never get bettered. And obviously then we had another big lockdown. So I suppose I'll put an events back on just to prove that it could be done. And sort of more in a trying to prove, not trying to prove a point to our organisations and governing bodies, but I guess just to support athletes really. So I put that on, and then obviously we had the little William Hill betting side that sort of really turned the buzz on its head and made it again, motivation went through the roof then on back of that. Mm-hmm. And then Beth went and did what she did. So it's a case of, where'd you go now?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much scope for it. I mean, me and you have been talking as well. Would you want to do that? Would you want to make it, you know, international? Like, we've seen the polls, the pot of Eat Beatrice on Twitter and stuff. And I know some people would have seen that. But yeah, is that in your aspirations, or do you want like a part of it just to stay, you know, how it is?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, I'd read to what Beth's phone's been like, but mine's gone bonkers since Saturday. Yeah. You know, sort of say, you know, can we sponsor your event now and all this sort of thing. And, you know, quite good companies getting involved and wanting to get involved. And I think I wouldn't have any idea how much it cost to get an event on where you had, you know, let's say Beatrice versus Beth, but, you know, get Beth to Berriford, whatever it's called, but get Beatrice to Berriford. Mm. But yeah, I think why not? Yeah, why not? It's what can go wrong?
The thing is, I think the level, like the course, that podium and how quick it is, it's almost like, you know, like Mark Scott last year would have done it for, I mean, he took home some prize money, but you know, he went up there for free. Like, he wanted to have a good blitz over 5K. And it's like you're saying, and there is a part of athletes who they do just want to have that blitz over 5K, you know, thrash around the track. And so I feel like it's not like usually the biggest expense is trying to get the athletes in, trying to get the world-class athletes in, but they're coming almost already, you know.
After that Mark Scott event, there were a couple of agents from Europe who were getting in touch saying, we want to bring our athletes over.
Yeah.
And, you know, I couldn't do because of COVID, obviously, but, you know, they weren't saying how much would you pay for bringing athletes over. I think they sort of understood the format that it's kind of, there's a race in here and it's £10 a race and that's it. Obviously, you'd have to change things slightly for anything of that magnitude, but I do think there's scope to get that on. And because, like you say, you know, people just want to run fast times, whether they're British, European, or whatever. So who knows, if we can get money behind it and get sponsors behind it, we could potentially turn it into a frightening event.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it. And like we've spoken about the course and stuff, but the course, as well as being quick for the athletes, like it's just ideal for spectators. Like the fact you can line a kilometre or whatever it is just with fans, it means that people, A, get to see most of the race rather than just a bit of the race, like if you're watching kind of a big looped road course, but also means just the buzz and the crowds around. It's almost like being at a track meet.
No, definitely. And again, you touched on one or two things on your podcast last week about, you know, having beer tents and people lining tracks. And, you know, I went to my first books up in Edinburgh, what we were doing 2 years ago. And, you know, you've got all these students with face paint on that are literally, you know, there's 2 meter gaps to run through cross country. And the atmosphere is just phenomenal. And you think, well, how can you create that? Because again, I think books cross country and books events are almost ignored by British athletics, you know, whereas again, they should be dragging them on as well and using them to, you know, James T again touched on it when you interviewed him, that there's not enough money in sport for these athletes to make good money and make a living out of it. Whereas we events like what happened at weekend, including the atmosphere of books, include the, you know, beer and cheer of Highgate, and, you know, get some big sponsors behind, who knows what you could do with it.
Yeah, I think, like you say, like in our sport, it seems to be there's so many governing bodies and none of them talk to each other. Like you say, your Bucks is a different thing, British Athletics is a different thing, South of England are different, you know, England Athletics is different, and none of them seem to talk and want to join together to... They all almost want to make the sport better themselves rather than as one.
Yeah, I mean, again, I might be completely wrong on this, but obviously, after we lost our license after the Mark Scott run, blamed on COVID and blamed on guidelines and things like that. But part of me thought and believed there were maybe a bit of jealousy from UKA. Then, you know, I've offered podium to UK a number of times, and I don't know if they want it.
Why do you think they wouldn't want it?
Well, I've been ignored once on it, and that, you know, just got no reply at all.
Yeah.
And then the second time, to be fair, there's been a reply, but it's sort of a damp reply. So, you know, I don't know. It's strange. I think I almost wonder if they want to keep separate what they've got and what club athletes want, and they don't want to really bridge that gap.
If you don't mind, like going into what did you actually suggest to them? Like just for the listeners, I guess, to understand what do you mean by you offered it to them?
Well, I actually offered it to them, saying I actually used the words that said I think
back in.
It's what?
Did you want like just a bit of backing, so almost like they could, you know, help you out with the event and stuff in that sense? Or
no, I actually said that it could bridge a gap between top club athletics and your elite side of British sport. And you know, after a year where it's looked like none of our governing bodies have done anything for us as athletes, it were a perfect opportunity to take it and show that you were kind of working with athletes rather than against them.
Yeah, absolutely. So you say you lost your license. So did that mean you just couldn't host an event for like the rest of the summer?
Yeah, so that's why the events over winter, because again there were a 10K and a 5K.
Yeah.
Over winter, they were licensed by ARC, ARC, again I think it's Association of Running or something like that.
Yeah.
That's why they got involved with licensing, and again after what happened at weekend, and then there was all the speculation that it weren't licensed and it were only licensed by Art, but it were licensed by both this time.
Mm. Good. I just want to mention as well, like the impact. This is almost like a shout out to Bess, just the impact she's had for Azix, because she obviously wore the Azix shoes in that race. On the Sunday, I go to the Azix website to see, you know, what's going on with the shoes. Sold out. And like every sports shop everywhere, online, you cannot get a pair of these shoes. And I feel like that is, that's why athletes get sponsored, and that's the power they can have.
No, absolutely. I'm led to believe, and again, don't quote me on this, I think Beth only received them shoes sort of Wednesday, Thursday that week.
Yeah, I heard she got them like shipped just in time when I carried over, yeah.
Yeah, and she did like her strides in them on a Friday or a Saturday and then racing them Saturday. So,
yeah.
It's quite amazing.
I think you've just started a shoe war, Chris, at the podium.
Well, yeah. I'm guilty. To be honest with you, Matt, you look at that, the lineups and the PBs and the times, I imagine 90% wore Nike.
Well, yeah, I obviously, like, I'm really interested in it anyway. So I was looking, and bar Beth wearing Azix, and Tom Mortar actually won the men's race in Hokers.
That's right. Yeah.
Bar them two, I actually didn't see too many people wearing them, maybe a couple Adidas kicking about. But yeah, I would say, you know, 90%, if not more, wearing Nike.
Yeah. And not so many in the old racing flats anymore.
Oh, I think, yeah, I think those days are gone, man.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, there's still a few purists. I think Ben Fish from Blackburn and Mark Hartley from Blackburn, I think they still had racing flats on out of, real.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. I think it's all right if you sort of just compare yourself to yourself. But as runners, like, especially in the UK, like, we tend to know, like, who we're racing against. And we tend to know, like, oh, you know, I'm going to be around such and such in this 5K with similar PBs and stuff, you know. But if you go from, like, racing with them, or like say you're usually a B race runner and then you get dropped down to the C race, I just think, like, as runners, you just, if everyone else is wearing them, you have to wear them.
Oh, yeah, you've got to. You've got to. I don't know enough about cycling to comment on when things changed in cycling with carbon bikes and carbon wheels and all this sort of thing. But again, it's just evolution. You've just got to jump on board and embrace it. You look at athletes now, and how many athletes are actually living like full-time athletes now?
Yeah, a lot more as well.
Nutrition, not drinking alcohol, doing core work and all this sort of stuff. It's all new, but obviously it hasn't had the impact that carbon shoes has had, but it's all going to be sort of taken into consideration.
Yeah. Look, shout out to Josh Norman as well for putting on the betting through William Hill. Do we see that as a step? We were speaking to Mark, and look, we just want to clarify on the podcast, it's actually against UK rules to bet on site, isn't it? But you can do it online.
Online, yeah, that's right. Which again, that I don't know you guys, whether you got involved. I believe you got involved. You don't have Andy Hayes.
I got involved. Yeah, I came out good, so I'm a happy boy.
But, you know, you can just tell by people speaking, all over the place. Everyone had a little flutter. It was almost like Grand National Day. What they were backing for. A tab of knowledge, but it was just something extra to get excited and watch it live whilst having a little £5 bet in your pocket. And I think it really grabbed people's imagination. And, I've not heard anyone lose their house on the back of it yet. So it's all...
Well, I totally agree. Like, there wasn't any spectators at the event, but all the athletes, there was a buzz. You know, there was a real buzz, especially the ones like me. I was in the B race, if you like, and we're really excited to see the A race because we're excited to see, like, if we could win a bit of money, who was gonna, you know. I think it's definitely something for the future. Obviously, you know, Josh spoke about, you know, the drawbacks last week as well, about how did it add like a little bit of pressure on, say, someone like Sesman.
Well, I'm sure. I mean,
but it'd be interesting to speak to Phil and see how he handled it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, 100%. You know, you have to get on your podcast and asking yourself. But I suppose at that level of sport, and Phil's an international. You know, he ran at Europeans, but
exactly,
you must still feel some pressure that you're the, on paper, on an international gambling site, you're the favourite by a long way. You know, it must have a little bit of an impact, I'm sure.
Yeah. A part of me is just like, well, if athletes want the sport to progress and more revenue to come into the sport, then they're going to need to accept, you know, more criticism, more pressure to go along with it. But I know a lot of people are out there thinking, you know, athletes don't do it. That athletes do it to just run and enjoy it. You know, why would we put that pressure on them? But
we've got to look to take things forward, you know.
I think so as well.
Snooker and darts were always really boring to watch, weren't they? But all of a sudden now, you know, you've got cricket, for example.
Yeah.
Cricket used to be boring, but then all of a sudden we've now got 20 over matches where it's fantastic and they're wearing coloured kits, and we've got dart players coming onto music with, you know, draped by women walking down an aisle to music and high-fiving people. You know, we just need to think about, could we, you know, pinch bits of these ideas and take them into sports? And, you know, it could really boost revenue. Like James, you know, was saying the other week, if we bring this sort of thing in, what's to say we can't start paying amateur sort of, you know, athletes a bit of cash?
Yeah,
that's it. It's all about the commercialization, and I don't think anyone's in doubt about the fact that runners enjoy running and runners enjoy running events. That's not the issue. It's the fact that the general public don't, and that's where kind of the masses are, and that's where the money is. Like, they might enjoy, a lot of people might enjoy going out for a jog or going and doing some sort of big commercial road race where they get a race t-shirt and they get a finisher's medal, but they're not interested in your track and field, if you like. And that's where you're going to get the money, is from lots and lots of people putting in a little bit of money for events rather than trying to expect to get it all from just your hardcore fans.
Yeah, and you know, there's a market for everyone. And as you said, there's probably a lot of runners, we'll call, who don't even know that there's a British league exists, you know, don't even know what championship races are. But I do feel like there's lots of gaps that need plugging, and there's lots of scope for, as we've touched on earlier, our governing bodies to maybe look at different options to bring much more money into sport and make it exciting for people to watch and get involved in.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't do that. And then, like, on the betting side of things as well, you know, I've got mates. They now know about Phil Sesman. They would never have a clue, you know. But I said to them, look, this is like one of the first races you can bet on, you know, amateurly. And you know, they were looking at all the people, and they like know these names, and they know where they came, and they know if they, you know, have Phil was second, you know. And that's something they never would have known before. So it's just getting also like the athlete's name out there as well.
It was a shame, really, because again, I think if we'd have had a little bit more time, I'd have been savvy with some sort of marketing. You know, we could have had, like, you know, like they did in the national virtual road relays, where they had club vests as you could have club vests with the rods next to them, and you could have really, you know, you could have got sweepstakes going. You could have really ramped it up and turned it into even more of a viewing thing for people that, again, don't really know about the sport and don't really understand, like you say, who Phil Sesman is, who Tom Mortimer is. I mean, yeah. Tom Mortimer been the probably the most unknown person in that race. No disrespect to Tom, but and he won the thing.
Yeah, he won the thing in a very quick time as well, 13:38. So.
A little bit sorry for Tom, to be honest with you. No, he won in 13:38, and it almost went unnoticed. You know, I felt a bit sorry for him, but a great run, absolutely fantastic run.
Yeah, he's going to be one to watch this year for sure.
Yeah, hey, and what a nice lad as well.
Yeah, lovely, so down to earth. So I guess that's something you'd look. Do you know when the next one's going to be?
Yeah, so it's now a case of getting. I mean, I suppose when you've got a race like Podium, you shouldn't really have to look at other people's races and look at other people's dates. You should be able to just sort of stampede through and say, I'm having...
Yeah, I suppose, but that's the beauty of it. I think that's why when people go there, they've been able to run so quick as well, because you've been in communication with them.
Yeah, that's right. And, like, you know, hopefully now we'll look at something in August, maybe September. And can't see how big we can go with it, see if we can even touch on something like a road relays or something, just something different, you know, just to shake things up again.
Well, yeah, a little club road race would be, imagine that with a little bit of a sweepstake or a little, a few odds on teams and stuff. That'd be even harder to call.
I've always thought just to change road relays, and you'd have 4x5K, but there'd be no, there wouldn't be any change in a baton. It'd be 4 out and out 5Ks with combined times. So basically, on your last leg, you know, you might know that Leeds are in lead by, say, I don't know, 10 seconds, and like Mark's got some final leg for Cambridge and he's 30 seconds behind, and you're thinking, this is going to get tactical now, you know, what's Sessman going to do? What's Mark Scott going to do? And this sort of thing, you know, just change things a touch.
So do you mean like four separate races or 5K?
Four separate races where you'd have maybe potentially get a big screen where you can see people changing and, you know, again, knowing that you went on that final leg, you know exactly what you need to do to win it for your team. And someone in, like I said, you could get someone like Cambridge who would be maybe in sixth position going into the last leg. On a straight start, knowing what they had to do.
Yeah, that sounds really good, to be fair. Good idea.
You know, so just trying to just change things a touch, but we don't need to reinvent the wheel too much.
Mm. No, and I think that's the beauty of what you got. You haven't. You've kept it simple, and that's almost why it's worked. You've got the event there now. And I think from my point of view, like, it can definitely just be huge, you know, and I've told you about that. And, you know, like you say, if you just add a few things, like you say, music, food, even if just spectators, it would just grow. I'm sure of it. And the running community would just flock.
I think, again, you can see the impact of being able to race again and the people who turn up just to race. I mean, imagine once you can sort of allows people to watch again.
That's it. Yeah.
I dread to think how many people could get down there. And, you know, if you could ramp it up again a notch and maybe even get an All Nations down there, you know, but if you could ramp it up again and people knew exactly who were going to race and exactly what people were aiming for, I dread to think how many people could come down and watch. You could probably charge people to go inside.
Mm.
And again, even more prize money.
Yeah. See, that's what I love about, like, the way you speak about it as well. It's like you're talking about more people coming means more prize money. You're not being one of these guys who's thinking, oh, that's just more money in my back pocket. You're not thinking, oh, this is more money for the event and things like that. It's all going in prize money. And that's what is great to hear and great to see. And I think that's why people just appreciate the event as well.
Again, I started in 2014 and it cost me £575 to put first events on. Mm. And the rest runners. And I think I give like 8 free entries out. So I made £50. So, you know, and that's how it's been. It must have took about, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 races to even get anywhere near paying back what I put into it. And again, maybe I'm daft doing that, but it's, I get a bit of a buzz from, you know, times it runs and people that turn up. And so it's, you know, I'm sure if you wanted to, you could make a lot of money from it, but I think it'd kill it.
Mm. Do you? Do you think it would just almost lose its, like, what makes it so good now?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think, I mean, I'd like it one day. I'd like it to go back. When I first started, anyone who could run sub 16 minutes got free entry. Just to sort of try and get people who were fast to turn up. And, I mean, if you did that now, Jesus Christ. maybe Tim Hutchins might have a point. We'd have to reevaluate the pre-entry. But
it depends what shoes they're wearing for their qualifying time.
Yeah, definitely. But no, I just, you know, again, I think if you start, the second you start trying to make money out of it, I think you stop asking people's questions, you know, opinions, and you take your eye off what it's all about, and it probably kills it a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a fair point, to be fair. At the moment, like, it's doing so well because you're just in communication with everyone, athletes, coaches, you know, organizing dates, organizing the races. You seem to know, like, the steps you want to take it in as well. And I'm just going to say, like, just to round off the podcast almost, that if there is one in August or September, we'll market it for you. You know what I mean? We'll spread the word ourselves just on Twitter and Instagram, because I think everyone should be there. Like, it's such a good, event. Like, even me, I just drove up there, you know, on my own, and I was just like, this is special. You know, I know it was a perfect evening and stuff, but, and I'm sure everyone else would get that vibe. And you rock up, and there's, I just see it now, like spectators lining that, you know, 1 kilometer straight. I mean, oh gosh, it's just been an incredible night.
I thought your reaction were pretty, quite amusing, you know, because again, you've never been before, you know.
Yeah.
And, I always remember in early days, Nick Samuel came. I don't know if you remember Nick Samuel's a runner. And, it were in a dark November night, I think, and he turned up and we signed on in that little little lockup thing. And he did a blog after, sort of saying, like, I thought I turned up to the wrong place. You know, he says,
yeah.
Dark, and all of a sudden you started seeing it, like these GB bags on people's backs, and then like a 1, 2, 3 go, and then you went home and it written, and he said it just something different, something special. So so your reaction, obviously, you know, emulated pretty much what Nick were like back in day. And I think when people actually go there and see it for what it is, it does show what it is, and shows what it, you know, why it works.
Absolutely. I don't know what I expected, really, because I think you think road race, you think like maybe pavements, or, you know, you actually be on a road, but the fact is just like such a simple circuit. That might be why it works as well, because obviously as track runners, you know, everyone's used to lapping up a track and just lapping up a slightly bigger track, basically.
Well, that's it. And I think, again, you'll be able to comment on it, Matt, because you're on there. I don't think there's anywhere where you need to take your foot off gas.
No. Yeah. Yeah, there's no, I mean, it obviously it's pan flat, but there's no, the turns are quite gradual. You don't lose anything on the turns.
Well, you've got a bit of a, you don't realize the climb, but you've got a bit of a descent into that finish. You know, every lap, it's like I say, there's nowhere to slow down. It's, and as I say, it was just a perfect night and it made it even better. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, look, I do hope there's one in August, September. I'll be there and I'll try and drag as many supporters with me.
Yeah, drag me down now.
And again, I think there were yourself doing live stream, there were Dave Norman doing live stream. You know, get 4 or 5 people down there doing live stream, more, you know, and keep it sort of, again, a little bit raw and a little bit, you know, let athletes look after athletes, so to speak. So
I love that, man. Love what you're doing as well. So
Agreed. Yeah, I'm sure there's people like wanting to like hear about all the news and stuff. So do you want to just shout out your, like, where you kind of advertise and stuff? Like, is the Facebook just Podium 5K and the same with the Instagram and Twitter, is it?
Yeah, so it is, yeah. Just them three social media pages. No websites, no email addresses, anything like that. Just
simple.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, you know, I've sort of put out a date there for August, September, but just depends when I fancy it. I'll just put a tweet. And then just roll with it, you know. So
yeah. Good man.
100%. Perfect. Cheers for chatting to us. Then it's been interesting just to see it from your perspective, I guess, and kind of get to understand the event a bit more.
Yeah. So no, thanks for having me. And like I said, hopefully see you in August, September.
Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. As always, if you've got any feedback about the podcast, please send us a tweet at Sunday Podcast or an email, info@sundaypodcast.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.